All right, I'm going to talk to you about, first of all, an East Coast flood or tsunami and the marriage feast. And this, you might want to read this if you happen to be on the East Coast especially, and just pay attention to it. We put a map on here so you could look at it. This is from Lisa Gold. And she had this on the 1st of this month. She said, I had asked the Lord to give me dreams and or speak to me about where we are on His timeline and what is to come. And then I had this dream. And I think it was the same night or shortly after. All right. I had a dream that some kind of storm was coming to the East Coast. We were watching on TV as they were showing all the states that will be underwater. And, you know, I texted back to them, not texted, but emailed back to them and asked them, you know, what was the nature of this? And they said, tsunami is what I thought. It was moving too fast to warn people. So, Lisa goes on to say, on the map, they were highlighted in blue. I saw some of the mid-Atlantic states, including New York, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Virginia, and Maryland. I knew there were more, but I didn't see them clearly. Well, looking at a map that we're going to post with this, if New York gets hit, Rhode Island and Connecticut most likely would, since they're right there. And if this is a tsunami, which we suspect it is, and Virginia gets hit, possibly North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, and Florida would too. If it came from high enough in the Atlantic. Okay. And however, we are expecting two tsunamis, one from the North Atlantic, which could hit Virginia and above, and another from below the U.S. by Puerto Rico, which could hit below Virginia in North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, and Florida. And this is because North Carolina protrudes further out into the Atlantic, and it protects the northern coastal states from a southerly tsunami. So, we suspect two tsunamis in close order because we believe these rocks are coming in very close to one another in time. And Lisa said, I thought, oh, Delaware isn't being affected. But then I saw Delaware also turn blue, as they said, quote, even Delaware. Delaware and the surrounding areas is where our family members live. Well, if Virginia and Delaware are hit, Washington, D.C., between them, would have to be hit. Dreams and visions have shown D.C. and New York hit with major earthquake and tsunami. And we believe that this is the first of major quakes to cross the United States, along with the Man-Child Reformers' appearance and revival. We think these happen at the same time, judging from quite a few dreams and visions. We always like to get confirmations in dreams and visions before we come out with any opinion. Just one really won't do. Not that one isn't correct, and but we'd like to have two witnesses. So she said, I said to my husband, we need to pray. Yes, and I got to say, we need to pray now for those in harm's way and that God would lessen the blow. And then I said, should I call Marie, that's my sister who is a believer, and pray for her? But there was no time, so the thing was happening pretty fast. And we were expecting tsunamis hitting the East Coast and the Gulf Coast caused by three asteroids. And, of course, they're named various things, asteroids, comets, you know, meteorites, whatever. It's just people's opinion of what they see, okay? These three asteroids, two hitting in the Atlantic and one in the Gulf. That's pretty well founded in dreams and visions. And I believe this will happen very close to the beginning of the tribulation. In dreams, two major waves hit the East Coast. And according to dreams and visions, this would be the beginning of great troubles to hit the earth. Which again probably identifies the beginning of the tribulation. Well, the dream shifted, and we were at a wedding. Well, if you haven't in the same dream, there's some connection. My guess is the connection is that the beginning of the seven-day tribulation also begins the appearance of the man-child reformers and the seven-day marriage feast. So, if these asteroids begin the tribulation, and if they're coming from Planet X, it very likely could be the beginning of the tribulation. And this wedding happens at the same time. That's what I believe we're saying here. It's at the beginning of the seven-day trib also begins the seven-day marriage feast. And Lisa said, I saw two women sitting side by side talking. The one on the left was quite a bit bigger than the woman on the right. Now, this can mean two things. These could be the corporate woman, church, and the one on the left being bigger represents more flesh, more people in it, and they're walking like a goat or a tare because they're on the left. And she said, I went and sat down next to the bigger woman because they seemed a little worried. Mostly the woman on the left. It seemed like she was trying to discourage the smaller woman. Well, the woman church with more flesh is probably discouraged and fearful because their conscience is not clean. And the woman on the right, obviously, it is more faithful to the Lord and is also a smaller group of people. They were talking to each other but didn't seem to be having a good time. The woman going into the wilderness is probably not having a good time. The bride's already been through it, been through tribulation, persecution, etc. Probably understands what's coming, while most of the woman doesn't understand what's coming. And the bride is close to the Lord and full of faith and obviously wouldn't be worried about this. In fact, Lisa went on to say, the reason I sat down was because I was trying to encourage them. I was saying that they should be full of joy because we are at the wedding. Well, you know, the bride would look at it that way, but I'm not so sure the woman would look at it that way. They will be joining the marriage feast, but not as the bride. And the wedding is a joyful thing. But those whose conscience isn't clear see only judgment and fear. And that's why they have these all flyaway doctrines right now, because they really don't have anything to do with this tribulation. And Lisa said, I saw my husband standing a few feet away looking at me and smiling. Amen. That could be a type of the husband to the bride, right? Then I said, come on, ladies, we have to take a selfie because this is the best place to be. I pulled out my phone to take the picture of the three of us. And I saw myself dressed in white. Well, there you go. The bride is excited because the groom is here to join her for the feast. He also comes at the beginning of the tribulation because it's a 7-day marriage feast, just like the 70th week of Daniel. And during that time, of course, the bride is going to be feeding the woman in the wilderness, the virgins, the concubines, the queens in the wilderness. And it'll be a good time for them to grow up because they've suddenly realized, oh, it really is the end times. This disaster that hits the United States first from the east is going to change everything. Nothing is going to be the same after this. The earthquakes that go across the country are going to break it into at least 3 pieces. And travel will be hard. Electricity will be down. People will be taking advantage of this. The enemies that have been invading our country will take advantage of this to do as much damage and kill as many people as they want to, or as God permits them to do. So we need to know that we're in a safe place, right? Not physically, spiritually. And Sandy recently had a dream where a tsunami was coming towards her, and she raised her finger and pointed at it, and it stopped. And so, you know, I've seen some miracles like that before, rebuking hurricanes, and they stop, take a right turn, loop around behind me and around the city I'm in, and then take off in the same direction they were going to begin with. Kind of nutty, but I've seen it happen. And so, you know, the Lord gives us authority and power. And that's the place of safety, in a place where we have that. You know, for the fearful, safety from the storm is abiding in Jesus Christ. Vanessa Weeks had this revelation. We called it, Get Deep Into the Rock. As you know, the rock is Jesus, right? And she had this on April the 11th, 2016. And David Dengler put notes in it. And I did too, at the last, put some notes in it. So I'll share this with you. It's very interesting. And she said, I had this short dream. I was standing inside a large rock as it was starting to storm. I felt I was safe here. And a verse that she provided was Isaiah 32:2. And a man, we believe the man is Jesus, and also Jesus in the man-child, and the man shall be as a hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest. There is a place of safety. As streams of water in a dry place, as the shade of a great rock in a weary land. Wait till you hear about the shade of this rock. She said, there were a couple of cracks in the rock, and I could see out. Well, notice this verse I'm going to share with you. It looks like it's the bride who's in the cleft of the rock. Song of Solomon 2:14. Oh, my dove, We've been getting dove revelations lately. Lots of doves showing up to people, especially white doves. You know, one of the symbols of the dove is the bride. Not just the Holy Spirit, but of course the bride is a product of the Holy Spirit, so it wouldn't surprise us, right? I went to the back of the property here, back when everybody was getting all these just about a week ago, all these signs of a dove, and I was looking at the garden, looking under the leaves at different fruit coming under there, and I wasn't paying a lot of attention with what was on the ground, but I saw something out of my left eye, out of the corner of my left eye. It was very close. It was like maybe 5 feet away, and it moved. I just saw a movement, and I turned and looked, and there was a dove sitting there looking at me. Well, doves are pretty wild. You know, they don't normally do such things as that. And then just a foot or two away from this dove was another one that was looking at me. So I just kind of stood there and cooed at them a little bit. And they didn't get excited. They just kind of walked off, you know, a little bit further away. They weren't afraid or anything. Very strange. There's no tame doves around here. And actually, the day before, I'd gone in the backyard. Michael was here. He went in the backyard, and we looked up over the logs that we have back there for burning, and there was a limb up there and a dove sitting on it, very close to us. And he said, "That dove must be sick." I said, "He don't look sick." And so we walked a little closer, and nothing really happened. It didn't change. It just sat there looking at us, so we walked on off. And so that's strange, 2 days in a row. Well, everybody else was getting doves and white doves and seeing doves in the clouds, like Charlie saw a dove in the cloud with an olive branch in its mouth very clearly. He said he watched it for a minute, and the head even turned and looked at him, and it had an olive branch in its mouth. He says, "Whoa, it was so clear," he said. "Just amazing. What is this?" Well, it could be the manifestation of this dove. "O my dove, thou art in the clefts of the rock." Well, there she is, in the cleft of the rock. "In the covert of the steep place. Let me see thy countenance, let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice." Yeah, you got to be careful what you say if you're in the bride. Because she's got a sweet voice. "And thy countenance is comely." Well, how cool can you get? Let's see here. And then Vanessa went on to say, "There was an inner room deeper into the rock." Oh. People were in there. And I thought, maybe I should go in there where they are to be safer. Well, that's interesting. I know Vanessa has been thinking about, and her husband's been thinking about, moving to where the brethren are. And, of course, we don't ever influence anybody to do any such thing as that. That's something they got to find out from the Lord, you know. So that this could have more of a meaning. It could have a meaning towards that, too, okay? But she went on to say, "I thought, it's dark in there. I hope they have a flashlight." And then I woke up. And a verse that she provided with this dream says, Isaiah 42:16, "I will make darkness light before them." And Psalm 112 and 4, "Unto the upright there ariseth light in darkness." Psalm 139, 11 and 12. "If I say, surely the darkness shall overwhelm me, and the light about me shall be night, Even the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. Listen at that. Talking about the Lord. The night shines as the day. The darkness, it goes on to say, the darkness and the light are both alike to thee. Well, you know, as I was thinking about this, this is what came to me. To God and to the spiritual man, night shineth as the day, quote unquote. When the old man sees darkness, the spiritual man from within sees light. God's light is in our heart rather than before our eyes. 2 Corinthians 4 and 6, seeing it is God that said, light shall shine out of darkness, who shined in our hearts, there's where the light is, right? To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So, from the outside, looking in, the way to the deeper life in Christ is to walk by faith and not by sight. Why do I say that? Well, the darkness represents not being able to walk by sight, which you can't do if you abide in Christ, who is the rock. Do you understand? There's no power. There's no redemption. There's no justification if you don't walk by faith and not by sight. If you're walking by sight, you're not walking by faith. Because faith is having the substance of the thing hoped for while the evidence is not seen. We got to go deeper into this way of living by faith to be completely safe. It was like a dragon dream I had many years ago where we fled from a cave being chased by a dragon, and we got into the water next to the shore, and we got a revelation that we needed to get out deeper so that the dragon couldn't step on us. So, the dragon, of course, is the whole world making war against the saints. Well, the more we go deeper in the Lord, the less we're going to walk by sight, the more we're going to walk by faith, and the more we're going to escape of the things coming upon this world. 1 Peter 2 and 6 says, because it is contained in Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect and precious. And he that believeth on him, that is, those who walk by faith, he that believeth on him shall not be put to shame. For you, therefore, that believe is the preciousness. So it's a good thing. But for such as disbelieve, that is, those who walk by sight, there's a lot of Christians who walk by sight. They don't walk by faith. You're strange if you walk by faith. You're not moved by this world, you know. You're moved by what thus saith the Lord. Right. But for those that disbelieve, the stone which the builders rejected. Yes, you're rejecting Jesus Christ, the kingdom of God, the provision of God. You're rejecting these things if you walk by sight. The same was made the head of the corner. Yes, the people that they are rejecting right now are going to be their head, whether they like it or not. And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. Why is that? Because the worldly do not walk by faith. They walk by sight. And when people walk by faith, they don't understand them. They didn't understand Jesus, and they won't understand those who abide in Jesus, the rock. So they're a rock of offense. People stumble over people who are like Jesus. And it says, for they stumble at the word, being disobedient. The word is apithia, and it means unbelieving too. So, because if you're unbelieving, you're going to be disobedient, because it's faith that imputes righteousness to you and brings grace to you, and grace is to be obedient. Those who have doctrines of disobedience out there, which are most of Christianity today, will not prosper. And they'll have to re-examine the scriptures when they find out that none of that stuff that they've been calling Christianity works. So they stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. Jesus knew that they would stumble over him and his sayings and his doings, even though he was doing nothing but good to people. There was a different spirit in them. Even though they called themselves the people of God, they were antichrist. The fact is, they killed him and his disciples. They were antichrist. All the time that they thought they were the people of God. But the Lord did get a remnant out of them, and then he turned to the Gentiles for another remnant. So, faith is our flashlight in darkness. A flashlight can be turned on by faith. You say, why would it be faith that turned it on? If you walked over to a wall switch and you flipped it and it didn't come on, you'd be surprised, because you expected it to come on. If you flip the switch on a flashlight and it doesn't come on, you'd be surprised, because you know that that's what brings it on. You'd be surprised if it didn't come on. Are you catching my drift here? So that's what faith is. Turning a flashlight on or flipping a switch, that's, you have faith. You walk over to it because you know it works and you do it. A flashlight can also be turned off at the will of its holder. And so it is with faith. Faith. You remember the disciples were rebuked by Jesus. Oh, ye of little faith. He wouldn't say they had little faith, because he had given them faith, but they weren't using it. That's why he was condemning them. They weren't using it. So they had it turned off. Some people don't know what faith is. They think it's what they believe about their church or whatever, you know. No, faith is believing you have something that you don't see. As far as the darkness in the rock goes, there's another aspect of the sun not shining on them that are righteous, who take refuge in the rock by faith, right? They're not under the judgment of the sun, S-O-N. Isaiah 49:10 says, they shall not hunger nor thirst. Oh, being in the rock is a good place. They shall not hunger nor thirst, neither shall the heat nor sun smite them. You can write in there, parenthesis, S-O-N too. Because many are under the judgment of the Son of God for their rebellion. For instance, the parable of Jesus when they killed the son, and he called his armies together and smote those wicked men and took that vineyard away from them and gave it to people who'd bring forth the fruit, right? They were under the judgment of the son. I'll read that again, Isaiah 49:10. They shall not hunger nor thirst, neither shall the heat nor sun smite them, for he that hath mercy on them will lead them, even by springs of waters will he guide them, like the good shepherd leading his flock through the wilderness to the mountain of God. Right? And so David Dengler put notes in this. Let me share some of his. They're very good. He said, though Vanessa is seeing this from her perspective, the dream has something to say to us all. I agree. She is seeing herself tabernacled in Christ, that is, inside the rock. And just a note of my own, he is our Psalm 91 secret place of the Most High, our Passover. As Vanessa saw, the place of safety. She felt safe in that place. Okay, back to David's note here. He said, she represents a believer in Christ Jesus. The rock is large, representing the corporate bride, or the church, some people would call it, but I would say it's probably the bride because of the verse we looked at above. And a message for us all, the storm, the tribulation, is coming soon. And there is a great sense of urgency. Yes, I agree. And she is standing. This is not a position of rest, but a position of action. And in this cast, a position of decision. He said, we are perfected in Christ from glory to glory. And this is a process. 2 Corinthians 3 and 18, but we all, with an unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are transformed into the same image from glory to glory, even as from the Lord the Spirit. And also 1 Corinthians 15 and 40 and 41, there are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. So that's heavenly and earthly. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There's one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. That's the three glories from top to bottom. For one star differeth from another star in glory. Well, notice the glory of these heavenly bodies. You know, I mean, the church is a bunch of heavenly bodies. They're not all part of the same body. The bride is not the same as the queens, nor the queens as the concubines, and so on and so forth. Those are distinct heavenly bodies, distinct different glories, right? So notice that the glory of his heavenly bodies is the light of Christ within to dispel the darkness without. So the light comes from within. It doesn't come from without. The light from without is only for those people who walk by sight. So the message here is that there is still darkness, David said. That is, parts of us that still must be brought into the light. This is true. Or as imaged here, pass through to get into an inner chamber. Could you call it the Holy of Holies? Maybe so. Or David said, deeper into the rock. Yeah. Amen. Christ Jesus is calling us to a deeper relationship with himself at this time before the tribulation. This is true. There's a great prize being offered. That is the bride. That's a prize in which we know from Scripture, and we can prove from Scripture and see in Scripture that the bride escapes all these things because she's already been through it. And David went on to say there is also a call to unity here as she sees others within and has the desire to join with them. Yeah, I believe so too. Because there is strength and diversity of gifts in unity. Now the church is going to find this out. That there are people with gifts that will be part of the manifestation of the ministry of Christ to save them in their particular problems. We need all of these gifts. They all represent a portion of Christ's ministry to us. And so Vanessa said, the Lord brought these scriptures to me. I got by faith Psalm 61 and 2. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. It reminds me of a vision Mary had of me standing upon a rock many years ago. And there was water all around the rock. Well, this was back at our beginning of our Christian walk, actually. There was water all around the rock. And I had these braces on my legs, strong steel braces. And I was standing upon the rock. And we got from that I wouldn't be able to stand on the rock in my own strength. I would need God's strength. And the water was all around the rock. The water represents the curse. And standing on the rock represents being out of the curse. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. It was strange to me that in Christ, the rock, it was dark, deeper in Him. But I felt this is the Lord telling me. Now, here's another angle of this that's pretty good too, I think. My flesh does not want to go through the valley of the shadow of death. To get where? Into that holier place, that deeper in Christ place, right? Where it's more safe, according to Vanessa's revelation there. But it is how I get to the others, and He will be with me and give me His light. Well, amen. You know, my thought is to go deeper in Him is to walk less and less by sight. You know, when you read the promises of God and you look in the world around you and you don't see it, which one do you believe? If you believe the Word, then you're walking by faith and not by sight. If you believe your circumstances and the things around you, then you're walking by sight. If you're sick and you believe your sickness, you're walking by sight. You're not walking in the Spirit. You're not walking in the kingdom. If you believe the Word, by whose stripes you were healed, you believe that rather than what you see with your eyes. So you see, that which is darkness to the old man is a place of light for the spirit man and scriptural discernment. We're told that we won't need the physical light when the curse is removed, for we will have His light. Revelation 22 and 3. And there shall be no curse anymore. And the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be therein. Well, the throne of God is in your Holy of Holies. And His servants shall serve Him, and they shall see His face, and His name shall be on their foreheads, meaning in nature, character, and authority, right? Or the renewed mind of Christ. And there shall be night no more. They shall need no light of a lamp. All right. Neither light of the sun. For the Lord God shall give them light. Where? From within, like the different glories, right? And they shall reign forever and ever. That's walking in the Spirit. People want to know, what's it walking in the Spirit? What's that like? You know, well, it's walking by faith, for one thing. It's not walking by the sight of your eyes or the hearing of your ears. You have spiritual senses exercised to discern good from evil. And good is what God says. And evil is what you see in the world. Vanessa said, I had this dream on April 11th, 2016. And when I did a search on a rock, I found these scriptures. Jeremiah 48 and 28, O you inhabitants of Moab, leave the cities and dwell in the rock. Meaning, abide in Christ for your Psalm 91 safety, right? Your Passover safety. Abide in Christ. And Jeremiah 4 and 24, I looked on the mountains, and behold, they were quaking, and all the hills moved to and fro. That's interesting. We were expecting something just like that. And then she found Ezekiel 38 and 20. All the men that are upon the face of the earth shall shake at my presence. Very interesting again. He's going to shake the heavens and the earth yet once more, he says. So the spiritual light is the word within your heart. Psalm 18 and 28 says, For thou wilt light my lamp. The Lord my God will lighten my darkness. These words from Vanessa. She looked them up. Psalm 119, 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. 2 Peter 1:19, and we have the word of prophecy made more sure, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a lamp shining in a dark place. Some people don't want to pay any attention to prophecy. That's a sad thing, because you see the value of it in this verse. Until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. There it is, that light shining forth. The epiphany, the pheniru, the shining forth from your heart, the light of Christ. In Proverbs 4 and 18, but the path of the righteous is as the dawning light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. So, as Vanessa says, we're light in the Lord, Ephesians 5 and 8. For you were once darkness, but now light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. Amen. In other words, let your little light shine, right? Let Christ shine forth out of you, the truth. Walk by faith. Romans 13 and 12, the night is far spent, and the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. So our armor is the light of the word, right? You want to be defended? Put on your armor. Notice that all the parts of the armor that we put on have to do with the word. Notice that. The sword of spirit, which is the word. The shield of faith, which is faith in the word. You know, shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel, which is the word, right? Just on and on. It's all about the word. It's all about becoming the word made flesh, right? Amen. So, for those of you that might be in the woman on the left, come out of there in the name of Jesus and put on faith for these things that are coming. Confess your sins so you can walk in cleanness and holiness, and give up your idols, and believe so that you may be protected and blessed in the days to come. Say, well, David, I'm living in one of those places on that East Coast you're talking about. And yeah, but I tell you what, you might be saying, well, my husband doesn't want to leave here and he doesn't believe in this. And so on and so forth. Well, you just believe God. It doesn't have anything to do with where you are. Wherever you are, you have the protection of the Lord. Believe God. Believe God. What can God not do? I'm not recommending anybody stay there. But I'm just saying, should you be in a position that you are forced into it? Well, okay, believe God where you are. He has ways. Okay, I'm going to go on to something else here. The Lord has been answering our prayers. Keep on praying to bring down this lawless United States and its lawless leadership and all the things that they're doing to try to turn this country over to radical Islam. You pray. You cast all that down. You can. This is important. There's no more important time for you to be praying. I'll just remind you of a couple of things because they lay a foundation for what I want to tell you about this answered prayer thing. Remember Mina Lee Grebin's revelation? Obama said, "They're pushing me. They're pushing me to cause drama." And he then walked over to a man seated three rows ahead of me, and Obama looked at the man and said, "Kevin, they're pushing me to give them what they deserve. I will give them the chaos that they deserve." And then written across his forehead, it said, "Chaos is coming." And then Jesus looked at me and with a stern voice said, "Within 3 to 6 months." And that was, of course, I imagine, from June the 27th when she had this revelation. We'll see. But then there was Glenda Jackson's revelation. God showed me a vision of Obama in the White House, and there were Muslims around him. And he said, as he was pounding on the desk, "I cannot leave this White House. This is my destiny." And they said to him, "Then how can you stay on as president?" And he said, "There's only one way, martial law." And they said, "Well, we know how to stir the trouble up, so we will go out and stir the trouble up, and then you decree martial law." So, that's true, but this is all a bunch of murder. They don't care how many people they kill. It's power that they're after. And power over you. And, of course, that's what Islam is they have a real anger and a greed to conquer the world because these are demon spirits that are driving people to murder other people, right? And we had a prayer meeting Monday and prayed that the country would find out about these terrorists and their boss and that all this would be made known. I tell you what, you just search for Black Lives Matter and then HACKED, H-A-C-K-E-D, HACKED, and you'll see that God is working to do this. And then you pray because the Lord's answering your prayers. Pray down the wickedness and the evil that you see out there. Be salt. If the salt has lost its savor, it's good for nothing but to be trodden under the foot of men, right? And that's exactly what will happen. Here's an article that you find there when you do that. Hacked messages discuss the plan for a Black Lives Matter summer of chaos. There's that word, chaos, leading to martial law. So the president can stay in office. I added the last part, but that's in the text down below. Is U.S. Attorney General Loretta Lynch coordinating with Black Lives Matter activists to disrupt the upcoming Republican and Democratic National Conventions so that martial law will be declared and the elections suspended, indefinitely postponed? This allegation is subject of hundreds of articles regarding a series of purported direct messages between three leading Black Lives Matter activists. That's very interesting because They hacked into them, found out what they were talking about, and they weren't very careful. The writer says, what we do know. On Friday, June the 10th, 2016, Black Lives Matter, BLM for short, leader and former Baltimore mayoral candidate DeRay McKesson claimed that someone hacked into his phone and took control of his Twitter account. DeRay McKesson reported the hack to the Baltimore Sun. And there's an article there. And on June 11, 2016, a Twitter user who calls himself The Saint, at The Saint Negro, there's an article there, tweeted what he claims are private direct message conversations that occurred on June the 10th between DeRay McKesson and Jonetta Elzey, one of his partners in crime, in which the two discussed coordination of plans to cause the declaration of martial law through disruptive protests and direct action at the upcoming Republican National Convention in Cleveland, Ohio, and the Democratic National Convention in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. The messages claim the endorsement and support of U.S. Attorney General Loretta Lynch. Their alleged goal, as stated in the messages, is to cancel the presidential election and keep Barack Obama in office. Wow, that sounds just like those revelations I shared with you, doesn't it? And while also giving him a justification to attempt a declaration of martial law. By the way, something nowhere authorized by the Constitution. And the private direct message conversation over the course of several days between BLM activist DeRay McKesson and Jonetta Elzey and Samuel Sinyangwe has been reported as follows. And it was there's an article there, too. The whole conversation is there, quoted, with pictures taken. The whole conversation is there. And these people may be guilty or could just be getting the blame for black ops, which could have been what happened in the Dallas killing of innocent cops. So you say, oh, they killed an innocent man, I'm going to kill innocent cops? Oh, my goodness. How evil. How foolish. And the question is, did that happen? But you don't ever know till a court of law and all the proof comes out, right? We're still supposed to be innocent until proven guilty. But people who are communists and haters don't care about law and order. On either side, whether they're white, whether they're black, I'm not a racist at all. And Jesus wasn't either. And Paul said, know no man after the flesh. Amen. So, we did hear a little something about the guy that was killed, the purported shooter, although there may have been many. I'll share that with you in just a minute. Everybody wants to know, well, was he a Muslim? Well, that's a good question because of the prophecies that we've had and what's going on. Now, these people, Black Lives Matter people, seem smart enough to stir up people to violence, but I don't think they're smart enough to do that kind of professional multiple hit. So anyway, that remains to be seen. But I want to share this with you before I talk to you about the Islamic link to this cop massacre. And the title of this one, which you'll find in the same place, like I said, you can do a search for Black Lives Matter, hacked. And you'll see both of these in there. Or Black Lives Matter, Summer of Chaos, you know. That was the first one. You'll see both of these in there. Okay, let me go to this second article. Just to show you the Lord's answering your prayers. You need to fight. We all need to fight at this time. No, not with guns and not with weapons and not with hatred. We're supposed to love every man, love our enemies. We're supposed to do good to them. We're supposed to preach the gospel to them, love them into the kingdom, even if they kill us. Okay? And by the way, I've had multiple dreams people around me have had of me being assassinated. So, pray against that too. I got work to do. Anyway, this article is called Black Lives Matter, Leader Humiliated After His Site Is Hacked and Transformed Into This. So I suggest you go back and read that other article, and the whole conversation is there. It's there. So, okay, on this one, while the Black Lives Matter leader, going by the name of Palmetto Star, has been busy wiping, let me just say himself, with the American flag and organizing a mass flag-burning event this coming 9-1-1, investigators looking into this domestic terror organization, and it is, even black cops have been saying that. It's a domestic terror organization. Don't think that they'll ever come down on these folks, though. You're a terrorist if you believe in Jesus Christ, and it's the end times, for goodness sake. Even though you haven't killed anybody. How? Never mind. I don't want to get on it. Anyway. So, looking into this domestic terror organization have been working around the clock. Investigators have been doing this around the clock to expose this radical group who non-apologetically have been calling for open season, quote unquote, on whites and cops, quote unquote. Yep, there's an article there about that. Distracted, perhaps, by ways to increase the horror of their threats, even targeting one military veteran and threatening to gut his pregnant wife and hang the baby in a tree. Palmetto apparently forgot to pay attention to what was going on with his own website, TooRawForTV.com. That's right, TooRawForTV.com. It's spelled T-W-O, Raw, For, F-O-U-R, TV.com. I don't know if he has a problem with spelling or whether he's trying to be cute. But anyway, neglected to renew his domain name for the site that he utilized regularly for posting incendiary propaganda against white people and police officers. So what happened when he forgot to renew his domain name? Well, it says, and that's when rogue investigator Hannibal from writeit.com noticed the website was vulnerable and swept in for the win. He said, I randomly did a who is on Palmetto's website when I saw his website name and noticed that it came up empty. I researched it further and noticed Palmetto forgot to renew his domain name. I couldn't believe it, Hannibal stated. I instantly purchased the domain and began planning to use his own website against this movement. Against his movement, I should say. The site has gotten thousands of hits so far, some from his social media profiles. It has to be an embarrassment to FYF911, which is one of his nasty names. Taking full control of the website in the late hours, Hannibal then transformed the site into a platform to call Palmetto out over his illegal activity, pointing out how Palmetto's Black Lives Matter group had been responsible for the random hits on white people and police officers that were witnessed over the past several weeks. So what about the Islamic link to these murders, to the Dallas cop massacre? Well, Joseph Farah on WorldNet Daily wrote a rather long article, which I'm not going to go into. I'll just give you a little bit of an introduction here. He wrote, "What we now know about Micah Xavier Johnson, 25-year-old Army reservist and perpetrator of this massacre in Dallas, if it indeed was just one man, they seem to be doing a lot of that and lying about it from the top down, is the following. First, he was a black nationalist who showed affinity for the Nation of Islam. Johnson liked pages related to Elijah Muhammad, the Nation of Islam founder, as well as Facebook pages of the Black Riders Liberation Party, the New Black Panther Party, and the African American Defense League, a group called the Black Power Political Organization, took responsibility for the Dallas attack." Which was probably a combination of them all, huh? So anyway, there's some of your Islamic link there. In March, WND reported the concern of FBI counter-terror specialist John Guandalo that Black Lives Matter radicals were beginning to team up with Muslim elements to provoke trouble in the United States cities that he said will surprise most police agencies. Yeah, so Black Lives Matter are teaming up with the Muslims. Prior to the Dallas shooting, reported Heavy.com, a Black Lives Matter member reached out to ISIS on social media, and ISIS supporters have since commented on the attack. In March, the former FBI analyst Guandalo warned the Muslim Brotherhood is teaming up. Muslim Brotherhood is in the White House. It's in the government. It's a terror organization, and it's in the government, and nobody's done anything about it. And everybody knows it. They warned the Muslim Brotherhood is teaming up with the Black Lives Matter movement to create violent events that will surprise many police agencies in cities across the United States. Is it happening or what? So anyway, saints, pray this down. It is too early for this beast to make war on the saints. That comes in the middle of the tribulation, about the time of the mark of the beast, when people rise up against all that. And the beast, of course, sends a lot of people to heaven, right? And a lot of people to hell, too. But anyway, pray against these things. You know, you don't have to study into them very deeply to find out what's going on, what you need to pray for. But cast down the works of Satan. Satan's been a murderer from the beginning, right? And the people that are doing this, behind all this, they don't care how many people they kill. They're murderers. And they're liars. And they want to continue their government, too. So, keep on praying and believing, saints. God will bless you. He's been warning us lately, over and over, to keep on praying and to fast and to pray, right? This is an important time. The Lord is calling out to us. He's giving us an opportunity to miss out on all this, right? So we need to pray to bring this down, and also to bring back the brethren from captivity. This is the time to begin the building of the kingdom. to bring back the brethren that are in captivity, of all kinds of captivity, denominational, faction, so on and so forth. Amen? Let me share this with you. Eve Brast posted this on our local blog on the 5th. Call a solemn assembly. Father spoke this word to me at work today. Sanctify a fast. Call a solemn assembly. This is a word taken too lightly. This is what the Lord was saying to her. And let me say right up front that Chad got this Joel text on the 4th. Michael got this on the 5th. I'm talking about all by faith at random. And now Eve got this at work. And she didn't know it because she was at work. She wasn't at either one of these other meetings. So that's a pretty strong confirmation. We should regularly fast and pray for our brethren to come out of faction captivity, denominational captivity, all the captivities to demonic works of Satan, and to be ready to go into the wilderness. And also to overthrow the plan of Satan to decimate Christianity in America before the awakening by the man-child. Also, for those among us who are in captivity, there will be a Passover and much death. So we need to pray for God's people to escape this so that they can grow up in the Lord. This is God's will. So let us pray and do warfare for them. Bring down this evil leadership. And for our own brethren in need, okay? So let me go on with the revelation that the Lord spoke to her. Again, I say unto you, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly. Perform your duties as faithful priests for the kingdom of the living God. For to whom will you liken me? Your brethren are in bondage and captivity. Those whom I love and for whom I sacrificed my son, those whom you say you love also, lay down your lives for them, lament and cry on their behalf as for an only son. Bring the petitions before me on their behalf, for I desire to set them free and open their prison doors. Enter, all of you, into the upper room, praying with the Holy Spirit and in one accord, having purified your hearts, having touched nothing unclean, and I will meet you there in power. I will hear and answer, for I am mighty to save. Okay, two texts, Joel 1 and 13. Gird yourselves with sackcloth and lament, ye priests. Wail, ye ministers of the altar. Come and lie all night in sackcloth, ye ministers of my God, for the meal offering and the drink offering are withholden from the house of your God. Sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly. Gather the old men and all the inhabitants of the land unto the house of the Lord your God, and cry unto the Lord. Alas, for the day of the Lord is at hand, as a destruction from the Almighty shall it come. He wants us to pray. He wants us to be more serious about praying than ever. And the Joel 2:11 on text. And the Lord uttereth his voice before his army, for his camp is very great. for he is strong that executes his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible, and who can abide it? Yet even now, says the Lord, turn ye unto me with all of your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning. And rend your heart, and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God. For he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abundant in loving kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. And I might say, not only cry to him, but believe that he hears you, right? Verse 14, who knoweth whether he will not turn and repent and leave a blessing behind him, even a meal offering and a drink offering unto the Lord your God? Blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the people, sanctify the assembly. Assemble the old men, gather the children, and those that suck the breasts, and let the bridegroom go forth from his chamber, and the bride out of her closet. And let the priests and the ministers of the Lord weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, give not thy heritage to reproach, that the nations should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the peoples, where is their God? Well, amen. We need to do it, saints. The Lord's been saying this for some time now. Fast, pray. I know some of you can fast possibly for long periods of time, and some of you work hard and maybe you just want to do one. Eat one meal a day, one small meal a day. And others, you have days where you're off and you can better do this. So we need to be a little flexible here. But fast and pray. Call upon the Lord. And Isaiah 45:11 says, for thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel and his Maker, ask me of the things that are to come, concerning my sons and concerning the work of my hands, command ye me. Meaning, of course, that when you command something, the Lord is the one who brings it to pass. I have made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all their host have I commanded. I have raised him up in righteousness, and I will make straight all of his ways. He shall build my city. He shall let my exiles go free. Not for price nor reward, says the Lord of hosts. Very interesting. People have been saying Cyrus is coming, and Cyrus is Trump. But Cyrus wasn't a Christian, as you know. He wasn't even a Jew. He was just very impressed with the Jews' God among all of his other gods. But he gave favor to them by the grace of God to go back and rebuild the temple. Well, how can you rebuild the temple if all of the blocks are over there in Babylon in captivity? You see, we need to call them back from captivity, back into the kingdom, to be ready as the woman to go into the wilderness here. And guess what? The man-child is going to teach the woman in the wilderness. This is the building of the temple of God. This is the building of the city of God. So, you see, that's why God wants your prayers today. He wants you to go forth and do these things. So, here's a revelation I want to share with you in line with that prophecy there. Backsliders return from bondage of darkness to freedom of light. And this was given to Gaynold Moser on July 1st, this year, 2016. When I awoke from this dream, I knew there was two contrasting scenes, but I could only recall the one in darkness. I was sitting in the back pew in a small church. The room or church was small, and I only saw about a half a dozen pews with only a few people scattered here and there. The left side was much darker than the right side of the room. Of course, this is a spiritual assembly of people. They don't necessarily belong together in one building, you know, but it's a representation, okay? My husband Marlon and I had come in together, but I had not noticed that he had left. And when I realized that he was not there, I felt very alone and wanted him to be beside me. I wanted him to come back soon, as there were other people coming in looking for a place to sit. I didn't want someone else to sit beside me. Trying to assure myself that he was coming back, I put my hand where he had been sitting. Feeling the coat that he had left gave me assurance that he was coming back and hadn't just abandoned me. I felt my husband represented the Lord leaving that assembly of people. I wondered why I was in this dark place as I know truth. Well, I believe that this represents the assembly of scattered backsliders. Gainold, of course, is a member of UBM, a member of the body of Christ, right? But she's a part of our body regularly, and from which the Lord has departed. Scattered backsliders from UBM, from which the Lord has departed. Now, this is not just something that's happening with UBM. It's happening around the world, but this is in her sphere of people, right? And in this, Gainold is there to observe for our prophetic needs. I asked for a verse by faith at random for the darkness and was given Isaiah 28:7. And even these reel with wine and stagger with strong drink. The priest and the prophet reel with strong drink. They are swallowed up of wine. They stagger with strong drink. In other words, they're out of touch with reality. It's like they're drunk. But they're drunk on the world and on sin and on demons. They err in vision. They stumble in judgment. Yep, that's the people we're talking about. Remember the title, Backsliders Return from Bondage of Darkness to Freedom of Light. Obviously, the woman's got to be ready to go into the wilderness to be taught of the man-child, just like Moses went into the wilderness with the woman Israel. And by the way, just remember, there was a Passover before that happened. There was a lot of people died, but none of the people that followed the Lord. It was a Passover. So she said this whole chapter is on target, Isaiah 28. But verses 1 through 10 show the Lord calling his remnant to repentance and the truth of his word, and also addresses the leadership that was not leading in accordance with God's word or his standards. Judgment is coming before the people will follow Moses into the wilderness. There is judgment coming, and only those that walk in and out under the blood will escape it. The people were coming in from the left side. Well, you know, that's the side where the goats come from, right? They stood on the left side of the pews, looking into the darkness to find a place to sit. There was more light on the outside of the church, so I was only seeing the dark silhouette of the men and women coming in. That's strange, because it's true, at least with the faction, that there's more light outside their body than there is in their body. They've received the stupid spirits, we call them, because they've forgotten everything they ever knew about the Word of God, and they've forgotten they're supposed to even submit to the Word of God, or not even impressed with that. So that's the situation here. Yeah. They're in darkness. Darker than people out in the world who have a decent, even a conscience. You know, people in the world know better than to act and to do the things that they do. She said, I still kept wondering why I was here. The darkness and the heaviness consumed my whole being. I felt the people coming once knew the Lord, but were backslidden. Yes. And with all the evil and the darkness in the world, they were wanting Him in their life again. Oh, that's good. Oh, that's good. You know, I'm reminded of when the people cried out for flesh, when they didn't want the manna, representing the manna from heaven, which is the Word of God. They got tired of putting up with the conviction of the manna, right? So they cried out for flesh. God sent them flesh. He said, until it came out their noses, till they were so sick of flesh. So that's how God deals with people who are tired of the Word of God, not applying it to their life. He starts turning them over to the devil. And the devil feeds them lots and lots of flesh till they're sick of it. That's how he deals with it. It's kind of an inoculation, you know. But anyway, this darkness that is coming will return the fear of the Lord to them. She said they were returning to a place where they were familiar. Yeah, they left a place of light, peace, protection, blessing. And now they're seeing the darkness around them and wondering what to do. And their leaders don't know how to lead them there. Right? They're certainly not Moses's. They were returning to a place where they were familiar, where they had learned some truth, but not its fullness. You know, because people who learn the truth don't ever fall away. They didn't do something with what the Lord gave them. And this was shown by the darkness inside, she said. They were searching for the Lord, looking to the right, where there was more light. Yes, that's true. Over there with the Lord and His sheep, right? Where there is more light. They were desiring the relationship they once knew, even if it was shallow. Yeah, it was too shallow, or they wouldn't have been captured by the beast, by the dragon, and used to fight against the righteous. Well, what they were familiar with was light in UBM, but they weren't walking in all of it. And I believe they may be seeing the right on the light on the right from afar, meaning they really don't come into any building that we're in, but they may be consulting the website teachings, because I've run across that before. They were coming with the bondages. In fact, I just talked to one of them, an older leader of the faction who destroyed a lot of people's lives. And he said, hey, I still go to the site and I recommend it to other people, you know. And I said, well, okay, you got to live it though. Anyway, she went on, they were coming with the bondages of depression, loneliness, worthlessness, fear, condemnation, rejection, fear of rejection, anger, bitterness, unforgiveness, and many more. They were desiring freedom and rest for their soul. You can imagine what kind of curse this brings on the people. All appeared to be looking and searching intently. They were not sleeping, but looking. I felt the Lord was gently drawing them to a place once familiar unto them. Yes, He is gently drawing them back. But that His plan was to do a quick work in them. And that's good news, right? A quick work in them. That's what we're expecting. That's what we've been praying for. And that He would move them from the dimly lit place to one filled with the light of His Word. Shown in my dream by there being more light outside than inside this church. And this is clearly speaking to all the verses that we've received about them returning from bondage to UBM, which they were familiar with, right? In fact, all of these people were so excited to find the teachings of UBM and were blessed sitting in the light for a while, though they came to a place where they plateaued and didn't do anything with what the Lord was putting His finger on. And when that happened, He turned them over to Satan for a while, like Nebuchadnezzar. He was proud. He wasn't going to act on what he was commanded to do. The verse I was given by faith at random for the people coming in was John 10 and 6. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which He spake unto them. This is the parable of the sheepfold. Jesus separating those who are truly His from the others. Once again, the whole chapter fits perfectly. And when I awoke from this dream, I was consumed with a very heavy, depressed spirit. Thought maybe I was meant to feel the loneliness and emptiness and bondage of those without the Lord. To feel their hurting hearts. Well, yes, this is so, and we should feel this too, and we need to pray for them. Not go out there and do something that's unscriptural. Make sure you keep your separation. Wait until they come. Matter of fact, I've told other people, let them come to me. I'm the one they accused. Let them come to me, and we'll see if they want deliverance. If not, they've got no business in God's church. Let them hang out in something that is not a church, which is what this thing is, in darkness, right? This may be what many of the backslidden are feeling, but or will feel, one or the other. But as they search and come into the light of His truth, the Lord will reveal who He truly is to them and set them free. Amen. You seek the Lord, He'll be there. Remember the story of the prodigal son, which we got this morning. You know how the prodigal son went searching for his father because he was in there eating the swill of the pigs, the husks of the pigs. And he said, how many of my father's hired servants have plenty to eat? I'll return to my father. I'll say to him, Lord, Father, I'm not worthy to be called your servant. Amen. So she said, this may be what many of the backslidden are feeling, and I believe that's true, and if not, they will. But as they search and come into the light of His truth, the Lord will reveal who He truly is to them and set them free. Praise the Lord for His faithfulness. I felt that the heavy burden was placed on me for a while so that I would be faithful to stand in the gap, to pray, and to believe for those who may not be in a place to seek the Lord for themselves just yet. That's true. Some people are so demon-possessed that they're not capable of seeking the Lord, and the brethren who love them should be seeking for them. And God, who can set the captives free like He did Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar couldn't think. He had the mind of a beast and the actions of a beast. And he was devouring much grass, which is flesh. We've got a Nebuchadnezzar doing the same thing now. Okay? But individuals, of course, do this. They devour flesh. But when they're brought to their right mind, they can make decisions. And Nebuchadnezzar's decision was, he praised the Lord. You know? He was happy to be in the Lord's presence. So let's do it. Let's seek God for them, pray, intercede for them, cast down all these demons that Gainold is talking about here, and seek God for them. My heart was warmed to see them searching for truth by the Lord's drawing. How blessed we are to have the promise of household salvation. The verse I was given by faith at random for my part in this dream was Mark 6:7. And he calleth unto him the 12, and began to send them forth 2 and 2. And he gave them authority over unclean spirits. Oh, isn't that neat? The disciples have authority over unclean spirits. We know that, so let's do it, right? This is what God is saying. It's clear. And we also have been receiving deliverance verses from Jesus setting the captives free. We have received good dreams of them coming back, but also dreams of them trying to deceive us while feigning repentance. So we have to be on our guard, right? And if anyone wants to come back and repent to you, you tell them, go and see David. Go talk to David. Yeah, that's the best thing to do, because one of the things we've found out they will not do is talk to David. If they haven't repented, they won't talk to me. If they've repented, they will. So that's a good sign. We've already proven that once. I even gave this advice. Well, have him talk to me. If he wants to repent, let him talk to me. If he won't talk to me, he hadn't repented. Because that's that spirit still there. Immediately when that spirit went into them, they wouldn't talk to me. Immediately. They'd talk about me. That's what the spirit led them to do, is talk about me. Not to me, not to ask me, were any of these things true that they listened to? Just the demon had entered in and it took them away. It was a stone which the builders rejected, right? So, or wanting to come back as they were, as though nothing had happened. We've had dreams like that. They were coming back, but acting as though nothing had ever happened. Of course, that's not repentance. And the words of John, come to me, bring forth fruits worthy of repentance, and then come. That's what John the Baptist said, and that's really the facts. And so let us pray and do warfare for them until this happens. Amen? Okay. On 7/4/16, she received this part. I had been asking the Lord to reveal to me the details of my dream with the blue sky that I could not recall on 7/1/16. And so early on the 4th, He answered me with a vision. The Lord showed me a wide river with an abundance of water. The river bank was lined with young boys sitting on the river bank with their bare feet in the water. You know what? I think this may be their spiritual man, their personal man-child, right? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Sitting with their bare feet in the water. It was a bright, sunny day, and the boys were laughing and enjoying the water flowing over their feet. This is a good picture after the last picture, right? It's a picture of them coming back, right? There were a few counselors standing behind the boys, watching with care for their safety. As I said, you have to watch them carefully, you know, because they may not be quite right yet. And delighted that the boys were having such an awesome time at the river. This seemed to be a first-time experience for these boys. I believe the boys are the spiritual man of the first group looking for the light. And this is the river of the waters of life, the Word of God, which they had previously rejected. The counselors, men, wore brown uniforms like park rangers. The boys, preteen, early teens, wore shirts of various shades of blue and blue jeans rolled up to their knees. The verse I was given by random, by faith at random for the boys on the riverbank was Romans 16 and 25 through 27. Now to him that is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which hath been kept in silence through times eternal, but now is manifested, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the eternal God, is made known unto all the nations unto obedience of faith. Did you know faith has obedience? Yes. Faith without works is dead. Unto obedience of faith. If you've got faith, you'll have obedience. To the only wise God through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever. Amen. And you know, Christ in you, the hope of glory, is another awesome revelation. This vision was shown to me on the morning of the third day after the dream. Comparing the dark scene to this joyous scene makes me think of resurrection and rebirth. Seeing the boys by the beautiful deep river made me think of the man-child ministry. Yeah. To bring them back and to feed them. Now, this fits very good with another revelation. I've already shared with you, but I just want to throw it in with this because it's very important. This was given by Kay. The flock is coming to the man-child. The flock is returning, right? I have a dream testimony to tell you. This event took place on 12/23/2015, a day after the winter solstice. The flock is coming home, quote unquote. I was in a small house standing in the dining room. I had never seen this place, but it felt very cozy and safe. The front door was open, and a flock of birds came rushing in. They were flying all around the room, and then they started to settle down. Some on the table, some on the chairs, others on the shelves, and a few on the floor. All the birds were very small and were a mix of white and gray feathers. It obviously sounds like they repented, or they really wouldn't have come up to gray, I don't imagine. No bright colors. And, of course, they're immature because they're very small, and they're not yet manifesting the attributes of the light, which in the spectrum, of course, is all these various colors. These represent the attributes of Jesus, like Joseph's coat of many colors, right? The flock was made up of different types of birds, all about the same size. Then they immediately started to lay down or to curl up and to go to sleep. These little birds were exhausted and tired from their journey. Yep, they were out there under the curse, and it's not nice to you. Very tiring. They seemed very much at home and in complete peace within themselves and without any fear. Well, they will love the ministry of peace through faith that the Lord will teach them through the man-child body. And when Saul died, the flock went to David. We saw the Presbyterians the other day, leadership, praying to Allah. Can you imagine? And when the Saul ministers are seen as dead by the people, they'll turn to the David man-child ministry around the world, especially looking out there and seeing the terrible things that are coming upon the world. And those who perceived that the Pharisees were dead were those who went to Jesus, right? They said, "Where else can we go? You have the words of life." So I went outside to let the birds sleep. It was very dark out there. That's what drove them inside, right? And all I could see was a huge field in front of me. Jesus said, "The field is the world." And we know that it's becoming very dark now. It's crazy. He went on to say, "I didn't see any roads or buildings. The wilderness, tribulation." Is what we think this is speaking about, the beginning, right? It was getting a little lighter, so I felt that dawn would be here soon. Well, we know that the light will be brought by Jesus in the man-child, as Matthew 4 and 16. We've received this recently in our morning meeting, matter of fact. I think it was twice that we received it. The people that sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them that sat in the region and the shadow of death, to them did light spring up. And of course, this was talking about the ministry of Jesus. And now, the ministry of Jesus once again in a larger body, the man-child body. An awakening to the light is coming through the man-child like it did with Jesus. And history always repeats, but on a larger scale. Out on the porch was a good friend of mine that I've known for many years. I told him that we're only 1 mile from the sanctuary, meaning we're close to this happening. He didn't speak, but looked at me with a blank expression like he was in a trance. He is a worldly person with his eyes on the treasures of the world rather than on the things of heaven. So I went back inside the house. My friend stayed outside. And he stayed outside because these are outside the house of God, because religion without repentance deceives many. And all the little birds were still fast asleep, so I just watched them for a while. Then some started to move a little and wake up. I looked down on the floor and saw one bird that was almost all gray and fat. I think this sounds like Ezekiel 34, the fat preachers that the Lord judged, you know. Meaning they're overcome with flesh. It was laying on its back with its feet in the air. At first thought, it was dead. But its eyes opened and it started moving its head. Well, my thought was somebody in leadership we thought was dead will be resurrected. Like the dry bones, right? At that moment, another bird on the floor flew up in front of me. This bird looked different. It was white and bigger than all the rest. I believe this is Jesus in the man-child body. And Jeremiah 33 and 15 says, "In those days and at that time will I cause a branch of righteousness to grow up unto David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land." There were pulsating red veins of light emanating from under its feathers, from out of its body, right? There was such an overwhelming presence from this bird. You could feel the power radiating from it and this incredible awareness that it possessed was the Holy Ghost. The latter rain. You know, at the beginning of the latter rain, the man-child is the one that's going to receive it. And 3.5 years into the man-child's ministry, it's going to be imparted to the disciples, who are then going to be faced with the beast and the harlot of Revelation 13. They'll need it then. at the beginning, they're going to receive the fullness of the former rain, like Joel said. In the first month, he said, the former rain and the latter rain. But it didn't tell you how it was going to be divided. Although I believe the Lord told me how it was going to be divided. As it flew up at me, I got startled, and the bird made a loud sound like thrump, T-H-R-U-M-P, almost like a trumpet sounding from its beak. The trumps will be spoken from his mouth, like it was with Moses and Joseph and David, right? The trump judgments, right? I woke up immediately, and the first thoughts in my mind were, praise the Lord. Well, amen. Praise the Lord. All these are very encouraging revelations of the brethren returning. We never wanted them to leave in the first place, but it was necessary. Reminds me of Onesimus, how he was taken from you for a season that you might have him forever. Onesimus was a runaway servant, wasn't he? Yeah. So that's true. They had to go for a season so we can have them forever. Oh, praise be to God. Well, Lord, we put our faith together today, and we believe for your people. We know that you sent them through a season of darkness in their life so they would appreciate the light. Sent them out there to feed on the husks of the pigs, so that they would appreciate the light of the Word coming home to Father. Oh, praise be to God. Lord, we thank you for what you did. It was good for them. It was good for us. The crucifixion was good for me, although I hated it the whole time. It was good for me. But I thank you for something better now, Lord, for them and for us. A mighty move of your Spirit that will touch and bring back. Like Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar was so on fire for God when he came out of that stupor. That demonic stupor. So on fire for God. Oh, we thank you, Father. This is such a good thing that you're sharing with us here. An encouraging thing, Lord. We thank you for blessing our brethren. We're trusting you for them, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Draw them, Father, by your love. Draw them. Grant grace. Grant purity. Grant deliverance. Grant that they will not be fed by one another's demons, but instead will come out from among them and draw close to you and recognize the beastly spirit that was upon them. And also, Lord, for our nation, that we may have a wonderful, I know it's going to be with judgments, but at least not the killing of the saints in mass numbers, but like Jesus' first three and a half years of ministry, in which the disciples, the only ones that were lost, were the son of perdition. And that was to fulfill Scripture. Because he was among the disciples, he just wasn't one. So, Lord, that 3.5 years was a good 3.5 years for those disciples. Yes, the Pharisees, slandered and said their things, but the true disciples continued to follow Jesus. And those who had gathered for the fishes and the loaves only departed. Because that's all they were in it for. But those who knew that Jesus had the words of life said, where else can we go, Lord? You have the words of life. So, Lord, we ask you for those people, Lord, for their sake, who are coming out of darkness, coming out of bondage, coming back from their Babylonish captivity, back to their Zion. For those people, Lord, give us that 3.5 years of relative peace, even though judgments are all over the world, so that we can grow up in God, Father. Jacob is small. How shall he stand? At this particular time, Lord, I don't believe the church would stand, because they haven't been fed the things that your people in the bride have been fed. And they haven't had the desire that your bride had to follow after you. So, Lord, we just ask you for this gift. And we know that you hear our prayers. And we're coming together as a body here to pray this to you, Father, and ask you for this grace. So thank you, Father, for this in Jesus' name. Thank you for working in them to will and to do of your good pleasure. We cast down these demons from them in the name of Jesus. We cast down depression, loneliness, worthlessness, fear, condemnation, rejection, fear of rejection, anger, bitterness, unforgiveness, and all the rest of the demons that have them. We cast them down in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, that your angels are going forth to bring it to pass. And we praise you for it in Jesus' name. And Father, for our nation, we ask that you reveal all across the nation. I know that they own the media, Lord, but you're bigger than they are. A lot bigger than they are. They own the media, and they don't let a lot of things get out that are just on the internet. And quite a few people don't have internet or don't go to the internet or don't do a search on the internet and don't know what's going on. And so, Lord, we just ask you to do a miracle to reveal the evil things that are happening. But let the people know and understand that this nation is under an invasion of people that want to kill them. It is so foolish that the people in authority did not stand up to stop this, but most of them have been bought out or bribed or threatened to be quiet and to even side with the very bad liberals that are invading the country with ISIS and everybody else. So, Lord, we just cast down every effort of these people to do anything but put fear in your people so they will run back to you. That's right, Lord. Dead people don't grow up in you, Lord. So that's why we're asking this mercy. So we thank you for saving a whole bunch of them to come out and be a witness to the rest. We're asking you to put a whole bunch of Pauls among them who were just religious, deceived people who will then consider everything that they learned dung and will come to follow you. Lord, let it be in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for your mercy. Thank you for our brethren that are going to come out of Islam, and thank you for our brethren that are going to come out of faction, and our brethren that are going to come out of Egypt and out of Babylon and out of the denominations. And thank you, Lord, for them. And Lord, please put a spirit of prayer in your people so that we can escape this thing now. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father.